Toddlers like to be the centre of attention, and tantrums are definitely a way to get noticed. But one mum insists that a different approach is needed. Georgina Fuller told the Daily Mail to ignore tantrums and let children be boisterous. She says healthy neglect parenting helps children become more independent. So is a more hands-off way to parenting the way to go? I'm joined this morning by commentators Heidi McAlpin and Emma Wolfe. Good morning to you both.
Good morning. Good morning.
Heidi, first of all, what would you do in terms of your kids? Are you hands-off mum?
Well, it makes me sound like I'm a bad parent if I say yes. But
I didn't say that.
Yeah, well, I'm preempting, you know, where this is going ahead. But I think it is important for them and you and your sanity and their development to give them as much space as you can without obviously it becoming a safety issue or a danger to them, and let them find their line. I mean, they do want to know that you're there and can come back to you, but I think that there's an issue here. One of the issues is working parent guilt. More parents, both parents work than ever before. Obviously they have to, or they want to, a bit of both, and they're not spending as much time with their children as maybe previous generations did, so they overcompensate by being there a lot of the time, spending money on things that aren't necessary for a child to be happy, and that maybe instills a little bit of a spoilt brat mentality, I'm afraid.
Emma, what do you reckon? Is Heidi talking about an easy way out for parents?
No, I respect every parent's decision to bring up their children the way that's right for their children and for them. But I don't agree with Georgina, who wrote the article, that healthy neglect is good for children. I think we need to be really, really careful, because neglect means it's quite a charged term, and it obviously means different things to different people. The fact is, it depends where you are, where you live. In terms of safety, if I were to put a five-year-old child, as she described, on a bus in the centre of London, well, I think I'd probably be arrested. You know, you just simply can't do that. She obviously lives in a quiet village. I think it was in Oxfordshire or somewhere like that. But I don't know. I think it's an individual choice. I think you need to feel your way in terms of what's right for the child and how independent they are.
Well, does this not, though, help them to be more independent? Putting the five-year-old on a bus to one side, if you're overbearing on your kids, if you're constantly doing everything for them, then is it not going to make it harder for them to learn?
You're making a rod for your own back. And also, whenever they go on to form their own relationships, you're spawning an adult who's maybe incapable of doing basic things or thinking for themselves, particularly a young adult. You've got to set them free. Just to say that writer who wrote the article, she put her five-year-old on a bus that had school bus monitors on board. It wasn't just getting the number 28 into town with a child pass.
Would you put your child on a bus at 5 years old?
Who, me?
Yes.
No, but I mean, I like to try and walk to school, you know, usually walk or scoot to school. I'm lucky I live nearby in Northern Ireland. I think we've got a great setup, a community setup, and it's nice and small to do things like that a lot of the time. And I see other kids who are quite young going independently to school, and I am trying to, and I want to start doing that with my child who's starting P6 from September. So I really want to instill that. I'm guilty of maybe overshadowing them too much and being beside them too much. And I wanted to take a step back because I think it's important for them that they're not always being, you know, tailed by parents.
How do you know then, Heidi, when a toddler is actually looking for attention and really needs attention? So how do you gauge between, oh, you are just gurning over there and actually you need me, you need your mum or your dad or whatever around you for whatever reason, give them a hug, comfort them. How do you know the difference?
If there's a broken leg or a bit of blood, then yes, give them a cuddle. I mean, honestly, children use crying and whinging as their bartering system to get your attention, and the more you give it to them, the more that they've got you wrapped around their little finger. So do not fall for it. I have my child, my older child, who is 9, you know, she plays me, tries to play me, and she's got hormonal swings. Never think that a child, particularly a girl, I feel, they go into their hormone stage a lot earlier than I ever anticipated. So I take a break. We separate from each other. There's no point shouting at her. It'll only make things worse.
What about
away to a different room, and then actually, on several occasions, she's actually written a wee sorry note whenever everything's calmed down. It's almost like she's having an out-of-body experience. So don't stoke the flames.
What about, though, if you are in public, so if you're in a shop, a restaurant, wherever, and there are other people around, not family members, not people that you know, and your kid, your toddler, whatever, starts to misbehave, do you just ignore them then? What's the best way to approach that, Heidi?
try not to be in a place where it is just adults, because I understand from not having children or being out without children that that's not a good thing, to watch children throwing a Barney. But if I'm in a shop, a supermarket or whatever, and it has happened in the past, I just let them tear on.
Really?
I let them have a Barney and I just walk away.
Emma?
I literally walk away, but keep an eye on them.
Emma?
Well, again, it's probably, I mean, I completely see what Heidi's saying, but again, it's probably a safety thing. There's so much anxiety now about leaving children in public places. But can I just say, I was brought up, my parents are, I wouldn't even call it neglectful, I would call it, like, so hands-off, you can't even imagine. And there were five of us. And my parents basically did just let us get on buses in the middle of London. And because we were aged from 0 to 10, five of us, they just literally let the older one look after the younger one. We just went swimming. We'd go to the British Museum. They literally just had kids and sort of, we were just put out to pasture, which was quite funny. But also, we did feel slightly neglected, like, I don't know, where are our parents?
What about, Emma, what Heidi was saying? So if Heidi is in, and Heidi, correct me if I've taken you up wrong, if Heidi's in a shop and there are other people around, not family members, and her kids kick off, she just leaves them to it. Would that not...
It's the hardest thing when people are staring at you and your children are screaming and...
But if you're not trying to comfort them, if you're taking a step back, like Heidi said she does quite often...
Of the oxygen of publicity, Vinny.
But there are other people that are there that are watching this. So, you know, these may be people that decided not to have kids for that very reason. So they've got a screaming kid interrupting their life. Yes, go ahead, Emma.
In a supermarket, I'd probably walk away and leave them to get on with it. But if they did that and walked away from their screaming child on an aeroplane, on a long-haul flight...
Or in a restaurant.
Exactly. It's a real thing. But the problem is you don't solve a tantrum by... pandering to the child, you know. They probably do need to just cry themselves out.
But kids can then, they blackmail you, emotionally blackmail you, and they hold you to ransom. Isn't that right, Heidi?
That's right. And, you know, another thing that adults today, parents today, are guilty of is wanting to be friends with their child. And I think that it's a blurred line now between being a disciplinarian and being your child's mate. The child wants you to be friendly, but they don't want you to be their friend. Their friends are their peers at school or at clubs or whatever, and they're talking a totally different language with them than they are with you. And they do want a degree of discipline. They definitely do. But I think it's really as important, if not more, to walk away from a scene of the crime and don't give them, pay them attention and don't placate them with sweets or toys or promises of better
sometimes
things.
That's the easy way to get them to be quiet, though, and maybe that's why they do it, Heidi,
worse.
But
it's worse. You are making a rod for your back.
Yes, but you might be quiet and you're silencing the child maybe just for that instant, that situation, and then the people that are maybe on the booth next to you having something to eat or something to drink, then they don't have to listen to your kid.
Well, you
your
know
kid.
That. If you do that,
we would have just been...
They're giving this little devil smile like, I've made her do it again.
This is your child you're talking about, Emma. What are you saying?
Other children, of course.
But we would have just been taken out and locked inside the car and left there. I mean,
I'm not sure.
We wouldn't have dared to kick off in a restaurant or whatever, because A, that's an adult's domain, and B, we just wouldn't have dared to do that. And secondly, we would have just been locked in the car and left to get on with it.
Okay, we wouldn't suggest that either. 0-30-30-80-55-55. Good morning, Mickey. What do you think?
How are you doing? Oh, my children grown up a bit now, but I've had a 5-year-old child and that's in the kitchen, and the child man like crying and sobbing. You had to find out why. Could have been watching something on the TV that scared him or something made them sad. You know, they're starting crying, you don't ignore him, say, oh, he's looking at attention. Sometimes they say, what's wrong? You find out what the problem is first, and then sort it out.
Heidi?
Well, yeah, fair enough. Find out what the problem is. But as I say, if there's no broken bone and there's no blood, then...
It doesn't mean there's not something wrong, though. You know, they could have, as Mickey said, maybe something has frightened them.
Well, yeah, but... okay, but also another thing that happens is if you've got a sibling situation going on,
yes.
They play each other, shockingly so, and every 5 minutes you can have them going, she did this to me and he did that to me. And if you respond to every little slight that they're bringing to your door or your table, then you're just going to have to stop doing everything you're doing and just be there with the children all the time.
Mickey, so basically, well, Heidi is saying a bit of tough love. Say again?
I think you'd be being a lazy parent if you ignored your children.
Yeah, you know what happened? I did say that at the start of this conversation. It makes me look like I'm a bad parent, but I think it's better. It's instilling a bit of toughness and a bit of certainly independence, which is key to all this.
Tough love.
Tough love.
I don't know.
Well, Mickey, what about a bit of tough love? You see, maybe this obviously is, and as Heidi has kind of said, and Emma as well, how we're treated and looked after when we're kids will have a big impact on how we behave as adults. So if you are maybe more, take Heidi's approach, then you might be more independent. You might be less of a gurn when you're older if you can look after yourself, Emma.
Yeah, I was going to say, or if you're brought up in, as me, in abject fear, you just simply never, I mean, I adore my parents, but I would never, ever go to them to ask for help. I wouldn't have asked them for a deposit on a house. I would never, even now, I don't go to them if, like, my ceiling's fallen in. Do you know what I mean? So there are degrees of care and attention. So it does have a big impact on how you live as an adult. But it does make you independent, definitely, very independent.
Heidi?
It's like herding sheep, because yesterday my six-year-old son needed to get a new pair of football boots type thing, so I had to take him to a shop to do it. He didn't want to go, but he had to go. I said, I can't cut your feet off and bring your feet and you know, get them, make sure they fit without you being there. And he was determined not to go, so I thought, softly, softly approach. So I did, in calm and measured, sort of ignoring his pleas, and I did get him in like a wee sheep. I got him into the car. We went to the shop, which is far away, I couldn't walk, and got it all done. And actually, it turned into a wee adventure for him. So you've got to sort of go round the side and round them up that way, not just get the proverbial stick out and get them in directly and have a row about it.
I can't even get some peace at work. My sister contacted me. Donna, good morning to you.
Good morning, Vincent.
Now, straight away you call me Vincent, and that'll have everyone behind the scenes here laughing, so that's just how it works. But that's fine. You've got four kids of yourself. Well, how do you think it works with that? Do you think, is it better to let them be boisterous, hands-off parenting?
I think you have to have a bit of both. I don't. They're all so different that what works for one child doesn't work for the other.
Because you've got four. You've got four kids.
I have four kids, yeah.
So how do you manage it? I could say how I observe you manage it, but how do you think you manage it?
I try to tell them what it is that's happening and what's going on, and we would nearly make a contract, a verbal contract between ourselves, but then at times it does change when you go out in public and they think they can push the limits. So I would, at that stage, if they decide to do it, then I tend to ignore them. Walk away then.
So you ignore them in public?
It depends on. I've tried reasoning with them and they're not listening. And
I guess the reason I ask is if you're in a public place and say you're in a restaurant or somewhere where there's other people sitting down, they can't necessarily just walk away from you. Do you worry that that's going to annoy other people that are around you?
I would just tend to get up and walk out.
That's a bit extreme.
And take them with me.
All right. So you usually, right, if you don't behave, we're gonna leave now. I'll take you home, and that's it.
We're gonna leave. Uh-huh, that's it.
How would you say our childhood was growing up? The five of us. You've got four kids. I'm the middle child of five. You're the oldest. I have to just point that out. Regardless of what people think, how do you think our parents handled it?
I think they handled it very well.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that they're listening.
Do you think, though, did we behave better as kids? Do you think our kids more mischievous nowadays?
I think kids aren't as scared as what they were.
Possibly.
I think we were more frightened.
All right, Donna, thank you. That's my sister, being as cautious as possible, because you never know who could be listening.